Go, it's turned on. All right. Thank you, Ernie, for stopping us. That sounds really echoey. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Hopefully that'll change. Thank you for stopping us and singing that verse over again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Because I sang it the second time and I thought about what I was singing. The first time, I don't know if I knew what I was singing. But there are so many people, so many of us who are a new creation, we're a brand new man, and we're going through this life and it's not working for us. And it's not holding out the way we wanted it to. And there's a teaching that I've wanted to teach for a long time, and this morning I grabbed it and I said, okay, I'll teach it this morning. So it's long, but I'm going to make it short. But if you click the first one up. There we go. Rejection is something I want to talk about. Now, I was not studying for rejection to study, did not do a study on rejection. I did a study on, I forget what I was studying on. I was studying on identity, and I had a person who was hooked on smoking, and he wanted to break it. And so how in the world am I supposed to help somebody to quit smoking if I don't know how to help them, if I don't know what their problem is? And so I started digging into that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, I came upon Frank Hammond's teaching, Pigs in the Parlor. And he was preaching a message. I had read his book, and I only figured this out after I listened to his message. I had read his book, or parts of his book, Pigs in the Parlor, and I said, that is the most boring book I've ever read. This guy has no clue what he's talking about. And I kind of threw it back in the shelf and laughed at him and walked on. I listened to his message, and I was like, who in the world is this guy? And I discovered he wrote the book that I didn't like. And I went back and I started reading the book. And the guy is amazing. He has all kinds of incredible insights. The difference is, after you walk through something, all of a sudden you see things from a different perspective. And so I was looking up information on why people get into drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. And I came up with this guy's message, and some of this stuff you'll see here shortly is directly from him. I came up with this, and it was really good. But the reason it was really good is because I was seeing it manifest in people that I was talking to and working with. Why were people not able to, why did they keep going back to their smoking? Why did they keep going back to drugs? Why did they keep going back to alcohol? All of this stuff. And rejection, I discovered, is something that probably about 99.9.9 people struggle with. So basically, everybody around you has faced rejection, struggles with rejection, or will face rejection sometime in their life. It has become a huge issue, I believe. So the verse there is no condemnation. Let's have fun with this thing. There is no condemnation. Let me see. What? So it is working now. All right, it's working. Just as soon as he gets up, it works. All right, rejection is based on a screwed up perception of reality. Is it what you think is going on in somebody else's mind? Doesn't that mess with you? How many of you have ever been rejected? I won't ask that question. But we all feel like we've been rejected. What if it's just a screwed up perception of reality, of what you think those people are thinking of you? What if they do reject you? Do you have to receive it? Do you have to receive rejection? Okay, so we're going to go look at this a little farther. Maybe I have to hold it. Okay, I just have to hold it. So, Frank's wife had a revelation one night. They were dealing with schizophrenic people. And his wife had a dream in the middle of the night. God spoke to her and said, listen, schizophrenic is two-sided. It's like two hands. You're one hand here, and you have the one finger sticks up above all the other fingers. That finger, let's call that rejection. In most people's life, rejection is going to stick up above everything else. It is going to be one of the root issues that you're going to have to go back to and deal with before you can face anything else. People want to know that they're accepted. The opposite of rejection is exception. So rejection, with rejection comes a fear of rejection. If you're born and you are, let's say you're born and you have a spirit of rejection, you're not able to receive love. There's a spirit of rejection there. It's blocking love. Mom loves on you. Dad loves on you. Can't feel it. Dad don't like me. Cannot feel accepted because the spirit of rejection is there. So that leads to, I'm afraid that I'm going to be rejected. A fear of rejection. So everywhere you go, you're afraid, you're concerned that you don't do the, you got to do the right thing. You got to perform the right way so that everyone accepts me. Turns into a fear of rejection. I gotta learn how to run this thing. I will be good. There we go. Fear of rejection. And then after that, so if you're cannot receive God's love, you cannot receive love from people around you because you have the fear of rejection, then you start self-rejecting yourself. You start rejecting yourself. I don't like who I am. That's the first one. The second one is, which you already saw, so if I don't like who I am and I cannot receive love from anybody else, what do you want from life? You try to look, your ring finger, right? The ring finger is the finger of love. You try to look for love. You want to be loved. You want to be accepted. You can't find it because you can't receive love. So you look for counterfeit love. Lust, perversion, fantasies. Let's just put the word addictions there. I cannot receive it from God, so I'm going to go see if I can find it, how I can find it, however I can find it. Whatever fills that desire in my heart, I'm going for it. That void that's in my heart. That's what they go for. So then the little finger is inferiority, less than everybody else. I'm less than. Since I am not accepted. All right, thank you. Since I don't feel accepted, and now I'm doing these things that aren't good. I know they're not good. I hate myself, and I don't like who I've become, and I feel less than everybody else. I am a nobody. And then you go to your pointer finger. Who do you think they start pointing at? Me. And you start believing lies. I'm a loser. I'm not worth it. Nobody likes me. I'm stupid. Self-accusation, self-condemnation. And on top of all of that, your thumb, fear. You get filled with fear. I'm not liked. I'm not loved. I'm not accepted. I'm doing these dumb things that I don't want to be doing. I'm less than everybody else. I'm not equal to anybody. I can't even hold my own. I have no value. And I'm filled with fear. Someone says, hey, good morning. How you doing, Isaiah? How you doing, Galen? You're like, what's he want with me? Suspicion. Wow. So then you have your left hand. So this is your right hand. This is the inward manifestation. The inward manifestation of what's going on inside of you. So in a schizophrenic person, everyone, you will see there's very much rejection. Very much inward, all kinds of thoughts, lives going on inside. Now you have the left hand, and it is the outward stuff. And it is rebellion. Does it work? Hey, it does work. I think. It went backwards. I remember last time we had to get it activated somehow for it to work from up front here. Not sure what the switch was, though. Are you doing it or am I doing it? What does Jason have to say about it? Okay, well, I'll let them figure it out. So your left hand is the other manifestation, and it's the outward expression of what is really on inside, but it only comes, rebellion only comes from rejection. And you get that? If someone is manifesting rebellion, it is because of rejection first. You will not see rebellion without rejection first. And so the key is not to work on rebellion, it's to work on rejection. Wow. But, so you have rebellion. Right here, that's the finger the thing that stands out above all the rest. And then you have your ring finger, which is, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's selfishness. Self-will, selfishness, and stubbornness. So let's say you have a person with rejection, and then add rebellion and stubbornness to it. How easy do you think it's going to break through that person? It's pretty difficult. The little finger is pride. It's the opposite of nothing. It's now pride. Thank you. I have to see if it works. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Okay, I'm supposed to keep talking. The little finger is self-deception and pride. So now, this is where people, you're in a place where you are rebellious. I'm not going to do what they say. You're stubborn. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what anybody says. And then you come into deception. Whew. That is a person that it is very hard to help them break free from. These are the people who will become martyrs for a cause for God in their deception. And they will die. They will lose their life for that. And then the little finger is pride also. And then you have fear again, fear and paranoia. So you put these two hands together and you have split personalities. Can I see the next slide? So let's talk about rejection a little bit. Rejection, that's what I want to look at today. Next one. Does that keypad work for me? I need something to, all right. Because I can talk fast. So, when is this person rejected? When is the person the most vulnerable? It's when they're in the womb, right? And when they're a child. As a child, as a baby, you cannot protect yourself. When you're in the womb, you cannot protect yourself. The curses, the words that are spoken over you go deep, even in the womb. I just heard someone say that fear comes at birth. We come with a clean slate at birth. But fear is programmed into us, whatever our parents and those around us teach us, we learn to fear. So any fear that we have that is not something like fear of loud noise or something like that is programmed into us. So at birth, we can receive a lot of this stuff. Now, rejection in the womb is often a generational thing, or it could be simply a child who was unwanted. He knew that he wasn't wanted right now. Mom and dad don't actually want me. And he'll pick that up. A child in the womb is very perceptive of what's going on. Trauma at birth. Wow. Picks up rejection, something like that. Often children who are adopted, say this carefully, will come with that spirit of rejection. Because dad wasn't there for me. They know that. And at birth, they're 3 years old and they're given to a different mom. Or maybe at birth. You know what? That child knows it. This is not the mom that I grew up with. I want mom. He knows that mom is not there. He knows something different, and he wants his mom. So, at spirit of rejection, you cannot or do not receive love from your parents, from mom or dad. That spirit will stand in the way. You cannot receive it, and it feels like just love. Receive the love. They can't. As much as they even want to, they can't. Same thing with God. God is their father. We talk to you about how great God is and he's an awesome father. There's a spirit of rejection there. They cannot receive that love until they break through that. Let's go to the next one. So without God's love, we feel rejected. And this either manifests as fear or as pride. And so if I feel that fear says I can no longer trust anyone because I've been hurt too badly, so I'm afraid of commitments and I'm afraid of close relationships. And pride says, I'm going to do it on myself. I don't need you. I can do it better by myself. I don't need to be held up by anybody else. Next one. Rejection opens the door for rebellion, which is what we talked about. The inward rejection, outward rebellion. When you meet someone who has rebellion, you need to go back and work with the rejection. Now, here's the catch. They tend to think, maybe you need to move to the next slide. I think I'm jumping ahead. They tend to believe that a person tends to feel, if they're in two different personalities, that if they're in this mild, quiet personality, once they realize that's wrong, they're supposed to speak up. They jump out of that and they go into the rebellion side and they speak and live out of that until they realize that's wrong. And then they flip back into the rejection side and live out of that. It's a flipping back and forth. They don't realize that neither side is right, is wrong. They actually think that one of those sides is right. And so James 1 says, or rejection opens the door for double-mindedness. James 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's like a wave that is tossed to and fro. And when a person is in this place, it is a place of torment where they cannot make up their mind. They're over here and then they're over here. But the catch is, I begin to realize that more and more people, you don't have to be schizophrenic. You don't have to be labeled schizophrenic to be in that, to have that struggle. There are so many people that I have talked to and even discovered it myself, and I'm not schizophrenic, that want to jump in either ditch. And when I realized this, I said, wow, this is not just a teaching for people who have schizophrenia. This is a teaching for the average person. Because we need to, but what do we need? What is the answer? But going on to this, science have given the term, alter ego, recognizing that a distinct personalities in people. And schizophrenia means to have a split mind. All right, next one. Fear of rejection. Let's go down through that list. What will you see with the fear of rejection? You are afraid other people will reject you. Well, that's obvious enough. So what do? You will, I got to read it up here. You can only go to a certain depth in a relationship, and then you will reject other people so that they don't reject you first. Do you find yourself only going so far in relationships with people before you stop? You can only allow yourself to get so close to people, and then it stops. If you do that, you probably have a fear of being rejected. Because of fear of being rejected, you're going to miss opportunities. You're going to try to please people, do what everybody else wants you to do. You are going to fake it and try to fit in. You're going to refuse to speak up or stand up to be different, to say what you really want because you want people to like you. And then you're going to avoid direct confrontation because you don't want to be rejected, this fear of rejection. And this is going to cause anger. This is going to cause all kinds of things. Now, if you don't, you can go to the next one. If you don't, fear of rejection, all of these things, and you're not being you. Basically, you're not being who God created you to be. You're trying to please other people. And when you're in a position of not being who God created you to be, trying to please other people, trying to be everything else everybody else wants, you hate yourself. You just will. Because you can't make yourself be something that everybody else wants you to be. You aren't meant to fit in that box. You're meant to be who you are, who God created you to be. So if you hate yourself and you reject yourself, you've rejected you. And what does that mean? You reject the gifts God has placed on your life. You reject the calling God has placed on your life. You'll often reject the parents. You'll reject the nationality. You reject everything. So many things. You're going to reject the gifts, who God has called you to be. You'll reject how you look. You'll reject your personality. You can reject anything of these things. You also will often reject the Holy Spirit. And you will assume that no one accepts you, likes you. If you do these things, you're going to, self-rejection will cause rage, fear, insecurity, self-hatred, and self-neglect or sickness. Did you ever notice that people that don't like themselves, it affects the way they dress themselves and handle themselves? They don't care. They don't respect themselves. If you actually are like who God made you to be, you're going to respect your own body. You're going to care about how you eat. You're going to care about how you live. You're going to care about how you dress. You're going to respect yourself. It's amazing. But you can see in some people literally how they feel about themselves by the way they live their lives. All right, next one. There are three basic human needs: to belong, to have worth, and to accomplish something. And so I'm going to go into the next grid here. You can go there. To belong. And I'm going to read down over these things, and I want you to see where you are in this picture. All right? So, to belong, the positive side is acceptance. The negative side is rejection. Now, we're going to read over these. Which one do you fit in better? Are you the person who is wanted? You feel that you're wanted. You want to be here because people want you. You're cared for. You know that people care about you. You are enjoyed. People love being in your presence. And you have a us group or a we group. Everywhere you go, your family is your group. They love you, accept you. Your church, that's your group. You love to be there. They love you. They accept you. You go to school. You have your group. They love you. They accept you. You're part of the fun. You're part of the group. Or are you the one who feels more rejected? You don't feel like people really want to be around you. You don't feel like really people actually care about you that much. Or that they don't really enjoy being in your presence. You don't have that close group or many people in that close group who are your group. They love you. Just think about it. Which group do you fit in? And it's amazing, when we're honest with ourselves, there's some that are going to stick out in the rejection side that we don't want. There is probably a lie that you have been believing. It's probably not true. Actually, it's not true. But there's probably a lie that you've been believing on the rejection side, or lies that are keeping you there. And this one woman, she was just convinced that nobody likes her. They just don't like me. And the more she was trying to convince me that nobody likes her, the more I could understand why people didn't like her. If you're convinced that people don't like you, they're probably not going to like you. And we did find the lie, but I forget what it was. So the next one, to have worth. We all are meant to have worth, to feel valuable. Either you are important, you're valuable, or you're worthless. Which side are you in? Again, I'm going to go down over it. I count. My voice counts. And so I'm not going to be afraid to speak. I'm going to speak because my voice counts. It's valuable. I am liked. People like me. They accept me. They like me. I have worth because people like me. I am right. The opposite of I'm not a mistake. I am right. God created me. I belong in this family. I belong in this church. I belong in this community. I'm liked by people. And I am good and I am disciplined. This is actually, it's like, wow, why that one? But it's true. If I know that I'm good and I'm going to do good and I am disciplined, people are not going to be embarrassed about me or ashamed of me or who I am. I'm accepted. But on the other side is I don't count. I don't have a voice. I don't want to speak up. No, I'm just going to sit here. Nobody cares what I say anyways. I don't have value. I am not liked. I'm a big mistake. I don't belong here. I feel like I should be somewhere else. You always feel like you're on the outside looking in. You just wish you could be on the inside, but you're on the outside. You are bad and not disciplined. And this one here really hits me hard. Probably because of my upbringing, I don't know. But it has to do with parents who are constantly telling their children, no, hey, no, stop, don't do that, don't do that. Hey, so, very on it, if I can say it that way. The child will pick up that I'm bad and I'm not disciplined when the parents are dramatic about every move they're making. And they believe that I'm bad, that I'm not good, I'm not disciplined, and they begin to pick up these lies simply by a parent's reactions. I believe one of the reasons this does hit me is because I see it myself. I relate to my children. Stop that! Don't do that! What are they picking up? What vibe are they getting from me? What is the belief system they're going to say? Is their belief system going to be I'm worthless? I don't have value. My voice is not important. You know, I want them to just listen. I don't want them to always say no. Am I going to take my time with them? Am I going to allow them to have a voice? It becomes, as a parent, I see this totally different than I would without having children. Let's go to the next. Well, let me think. Let's stop here. Just look at those. Which one do you identify more with? Are you important? Do you have value? Or do you feel you identify more with the worthless side? Again, there's lies, there's belief systems that need to be worked through. Let's go to the next one. To accomplish. Do you have confidence? Confidence in who you are? Or hopelessness. This is huge. This is huge around us. You look around us. People are filled with hopelessness in specific areas, not confidence. Confidence or courage says, I can do this. I'm adequate. I have what it takes. My parents have always said, you can do it. Come on, let's do that. You can do it. Or my parents are always shutting me down. You can't do that. You're not old enough. You're not big enough. You do. Not letting their children actually go ahead and try and make a mistake. Wow. Confidence. You have confidence that the people around you are going to help you. My us group, my we group, they're going to help me. They're going to keep me safe. They're not going to let me fail. They're not going to let me go wrong. They're going to be there. They got my back. I can handle my responsibilities. You're confident that you can feed the dog. You're confident that you can, and as you grow older, you're confident you can do the responsibilities that God gives you. I can do this. I can be a parent. I can be whatever your job is. I can get along with people. You're confident that whatever the problem is that comes up, I can handle it. Because I'm not a conflict person. I'm not causing conflict. I'm causing, what's the word? Conflict, I fix conflict. I'm not causing conflict. I'm facing the conflict and I'm walking through it. But the other side of hopeless is I cannot do anything right. I can't do it right. So why should I even try? If I can't do it right, why should I even try? That comes often from our parents being negative. We talked about this joy thing, and it's a choice, and where we want to choose to see the positive and the negative. Well, if we as parents see the negative in our children and stop them and all of this stuff, we're going to cause them to feel like they can't do anything right. Now, that can be taken overboard. Don't hear me wrong. No one helps me. Do we have that we group? Do we have the confidence? Do we have that trust built that our parents are going to help us, that our friend group is going to help us, that we aren't going to be left high and dry? I am a useless failure. I don't get along with people. What is our track record? Do we get along with people or don't we? Again, look at this list. Which one are you? Do you have confidence or is there hopelessness? And if you find yourself in the one side, just begin to, I'd write it down and say, and then go home and say, Lord, where is the lie here? What am I believing? That's not of you. What's not truth? And get rid of it. Let's go on. God is a God of love. Does he ever reject someone? Does he ever reject someone? What do you think? Can you be rejected by God? Okay, thank you. I have the answers up there. It's not a trick question. Yes, I believe you can be rejected by God. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. Adam was rejected from God's presence. Cain, the offering was rejected. Ishmael, rejected from as the promised son. Let's look at a few verses here. Yes, it works. Thank you. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, we're called to be kings on this earth. But if you reject the word of the Lord, you aren't going to be a king. You're not going to be a king on God's kingdom. Because he says, I will reject you from being king. So, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will reject you from being the priest, my priest. You reject God's knowledge, he's going to reject us from being his priest. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Wow. This no longer just impacts me, it impacts my children. If I forget the law of my God, he's going to forget my children. I don't want that to happen. And just as they did not, okay, God's, I thought there was another verse there, but maybe, And just as a continual rejection of God leads to a reprobate mind. Continual rejection of God leads to a reprobate mind. I'm convinced people who are following after the lust of their own selves, who have rejected God for a season. I don't believe they just get to this place. But let's read the verse. It says, just as they did not seem fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a reprobate, a depraved mind, to those things which are not proper. And it got stuck. Thank you. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, convenient covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Wow, these are people who are turned over to this. All of these things. Next one. If you are submitted to God, God has never rejected you. Or God has not rejected you. So there are people who are afraid that God has rejected them. But I believe that if you are submitted, your life is submitted to God, and there's an area that's out of alignment in the midst of that, but you are submitted, God has not rejected you. If God has not rejected you, then you have never been rejected. Right? Everything else is an illusion. So let's go to the next one just to look at this because everyone's not sure about that. So if God accepts you and people reject you, are you rejected? He says no. I agree with you. Whose voice do you want to listen to? Are we going to go by what God says, or are we going to go by what people say? Now, I realize this can sound tricky, but it is a help to walk through rejection. So if God accepts me, but somebody rejects me because of the way I dress, am I going to receive that rejection, or am I going to live confident and accepted in Christ? I choose what God says about me over what man says. If God accepts you and people reject you, God is not speaking through those people in that area. Therefore, we can only be rejected if we agree with it. So if people are trying to reject you, and you feel that, and you agree with them, then you get rejected. But if people are trying to reject you, and you feel that, and you do a check with God, and God says, no, I accept you. You're dressing the way I want you to dress. You're doing what I want you to do, whatever it is. And you say, thank you, God, I receive that. And you can still be friends with that person. You don't have to receive rejection. Isn't that awesome? Rejection, did we skip one or not? Rejection is not that powerful. It is the need for love and acceptance that is powerful. So if we flip this thing and we start focusing on the love and acceptance, that's actually what people want. They're not that desperate to get away from rejection. They're desperate for the love and acceptance. Next one. If we do not get love and acceptance, it amplifies the voice of rejection. If we don't get that love and acceptance, there's going to be a cry of our soul that is crying out. And it's going to amplify the voice of rejection. At birth, a child instinctively craves milk. It's just natural. Child desires milk. Without milk, they would starve. And they can't even help themselves. They can only receive this through other human beings. Other people help them get what they need. Now, it's the same way with... go to the next one. At birth, a child's soul is crying out for love and acceptance. If they do not get the love and acceptance that they're looking for, if there are deep feelings of rejection, fear, insecurity, guilt, and shame, and anger are going to begin to grow inside there. Because they're not getting what they are meant to have, that God created for them to have. And so there's going to be this intense longing for something else. Next one. People go to great extents to be accepted, and they will go to great extents to avoid being rejected, and they will jump from person to person or group to group to see if they can find it. If people do not feel accepted, they will turn to performance to find acceptance. Do we want a group of people who are trying to perform to be accepted? No, we don't. And so I thought about it this morning when we're looking at this culture that we want. Yes, we want a certain culture. We do not want people to have to perform to be accepted, though. We don't want people to come in here, visitors, to have to perform a certain way to be accepted. We want to accept them as they come in, for whoever they are. We'll accept them and love them because they need that. Everyone needs that. Religious people will tend to perform for God's approval. Why do you come to church this morning? Well, that's because that's what we do. Are you just performing it? Why do you come to church this morning? Is it because we want to come to church? God has something. We want to meet God. We want to worship Him. We want to learn more. Whatever it is, it shouldn't be for performance. Children feeling rejected will perform for their parents' acceptance. So many parents in the older generation say how they would do things. It comes down to performance. If I did the right thing, Dad accepted me. Next one. Let's skip over this slide and the next slide. And the next slide. And the next one. Okay, feelings are the cry of a root. If the root is accepted, the branch will bring forth love and acceptance. It will bring forth warmth to everyone who is in contact with next. Many will try to manage the fruit and not bring healing to the root. There is a root to every fruit. And so I'm trying to manage. This really hit me hard as a woman at the healing center. And she said, can you guys do a teaching on anger management? I was like, no, that's not what we're here for. We're here to get rid of the anger, not so you have to manage it. But then it dawned on me, if we aren't able to help her break free of the anger right now, maybe it's a long enough journey, whatever it is, because it was extreme schizophrenia, extreme stuff. Just recently, she threw a mug at one of the staff. There's extreme stuff going on. If we don't have the ability to walk her through that quickly, we should teach her tips on how to deal with it until she can break through that. And what we are doing is we are giving her love and we are giving her acceptance. And she is coming out of that rejection. I do see that. So the next one. If the root is holy, the branches are holy also. So whatever you feed, roots feed us whatever they are made of, and they carry either a truth or a lie. So our beliefs will feed our outcome. Our beliefs determine the outcome. Whatever we believe, that's what the outcome is going to be. So if we're believing a lie, we're going to manifest a lie. If we're believing a truth, we're going to manifest the truth. And this determines the health or sickness of our soul. Don't know if that makes sense. Next one. Are you living from a root of rejection or are you living from a root of radical acceptance? So we looked at rejection. We kind of looked at it in different ways. There's more stuff that I'm going to skip. But what is the answer? The answer is radical acceptance. That is what I believe the answer is to rejection. Radical acceptance. And so the pursuit of this is we need to believe and know that we are accepted. Are you convinced and deeply confident that you are accepted? If you're not convinced of this, you're going to have a struggle. Let's go to the next one. Rejection fruit is fear, doubt. Let's just keep paging through them. Fear, next one. Anger, depression. Let's keep going. Denial, Okay, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, here, let's read these verses. So, embrace, if to find acceptance, we need to embrace God's acceptance. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, it says in Psalms. We embrace the Lord's acceptance. Next one. You did not choose me, God says, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. God chose us, he accepted us, and he appointed us. If we can live that and believe that, we can go and produce the fruit that he is calling us to deliver, to produce. Let's go to the next one. Keep going. Well, let's look at the prodigal son. God doesn't wash us to accept us. He accepts us, and then he washes us. We don't have to get good enough for God to accept us. Good enough so we can go to church. We just have to receive his acceptance. Embrace the Father's radical acceptance. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I'll admit, this not having my own clicker, I'm not sure where I'm at. So, yeah. I have no idea what slides I have. Let me what is the next slide? Okay, why don't you go to the very last slide? The very last slide. Yep. Live for the acceptance of the Father. That is our only key. That is the only key I want to leave with you. Live for the acceptance of the Father. Do not live for the acceptance of what people think, say, or do. Yes, you want to improve, you want to impress people around you. You want them to love and accept you. But live for the acceptance of your Father. And that is going to kick out rejection. So, that was a teaching. It's kind of choppy. I'm sorry. But I think that's all I have. God bless you. If you have any questions, I would love to talk about it. Or maybe it would flow better. But blessings to you.
We're going to have the offering, then I have a couple of announcements, and so let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity again. Thank you for giving to us, and Father, I want to thank you for Camp Andrews and what you were did, what you did, what you're still doing in the lives of the children and staff is a blessing. So I pray a blessing on the gift as we give to Camp Andrews today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the offering is for Camp Andrews, which is over for this year, and I don't know how much you heard of camp, but I talked to several people that were involved, and it sounded like, at least from what I heard the good things and some really amazing things, especially from Mike, of some of the feedback coming from the children on experiencing love, not just talking about it, but experiencing it and asking questions, and I'm sure Jason and some of you that were there as well have lots of stories. But I want to bless each one of you for being there. Daniel, Steve, Jason, I know Mike was there. Seth was there. So those that were at camp, I want to bless you and honor you for what you're doing, for what you did, because I heard a lot of good. And that's not just going to stop, Okay? You made lots of memories. You planted lots of seeds. And I'm sure it's going to make an eternal difference in what you did at camp. So that's what the offering is going for. We're still short $4,000, but this will go toward that. But wrapping this up, Galen, thank you for sharing. And just thinking of rejection, rebellion, some of the points that you brought out gave me a new understanding of how some of that works. In, you know, when you line things up in the proper order, stuff seems to work better. And when you try to topple down number 5 instead of number 1,